If you're like me, you probably have a closet full of local band merch. And whether you know it or not, a lot of that band merch was probably made by Divine Shirt Company right here in Winnipeg. Divine Shirt Company has made all of the Great Witch Police merch, from our hoodies to our toques to our t-shirts. And if you're looking to get anything done, like screen printing, embroidery, graphic design, digital printing, go to see Divine Shirt Company at divineshirtcompany.ca and tell them Witch Police Radio sent you.
One of our colleagues, Sam Thompson, who, if you saw him, you'd sort of right away assume he was a hippie.
Witch Police Radio. Witch Police Radio. Oh, no, no, no.
Witch Police Radio.
All right, welcome to Witch Police Radio. I'm here with a guest who has been on the podcast a couple times before, but it's been sort of spread out over a number of years. And one thing that's kind of cool is, you know, I, on social media, I like to post on this day in whatever year this episode came out. And the timing always seems to randomly work out that, you know, the on this day for a band I'm interviewing, you know, it always comes up like 5 years ago, and then suddenly I'm doing a new interview with the same people. I don't know if that just is like, speaks to the, how small the Winnipeg music scene really is, even though it seems huge, or if it's just complete fluke, you know, serendipity. But it is kind of cool because you showed up, your band, Northern Royals, showed up on a on this day thing a couple days ago, and then, hey, now we're doing a new one. So, yeah, everything's cyclical, I guess.
Yeah, I saw that. It seems to always pop up on the memories.
Yeah.
And there's always different members on there, it seems, so.
Well, yeah, that's kind of the thing too, right? So, I mean, maybe a good place to start is if you want to introduce yourself.
Sure.
As we've established, you're at Northern Royals. Maybe give a bit of background about what it is you guys do as a band.
Yeah, my name is Evan. I'm the frontman and lead singer of Northern Royals. We're a rock band based in Winnipeg, Manitoba. And we've been around for, we were talking about this the other day, like 13, 14 years now.
Oh, wow. That's longer than I thought, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, we started jamming, right? Like, not really serious at the beginning, and then just kind of escalated into where we are now. But we've gone through like six members since we started. And I think we've been on your podcast this third time now.
I think so, yeah.
Yeah, and it's been different members each time, so.
So I guess maybe that's a kind of a good segue into, have you figured out sort of the lineup? At what point do you determine which is the lineup you want to keep? Because, I mean, like you said, there have been a lot of changes. And obviously you have a current lineup that's got a new record coming out and all that. So at what point, I know there's a lot of regulars, there's at least three of you who have sort of gone through the entire history of the band. I guess, what is it you're looking for in the other members that has, you know, involved so much turnover?
I don't know, Sam. Don't know. I'm just so hard to work with.
Yeah, apparently, yeah.
No, I don't know. Like, everything's been different. Like, some people have quit. We let some people go.
Yeah.
You know, it's like any relationship. It's like any art project. People come and go. It is what it is. We're just looking for people that are committed and, you know, like the same kind of music we like. And the reality is we make no money, right?
Of course. Yeah, your local band. This is what happens, right?
Yeah. Yeah. You put a ton of time and effort and energy and just like passion and emotion into this stuff, and you do it for free. You volunteer your time, you know, because you love it.
Of course.
But it's stressful. It's time consuming. You know what? Our plans change all the time, what we want out of it, right? Sometimes we, you know, at the beginning, we thought we'd release an album and get famous. Then you realize that's not going to happen. And then it's, you know, you're depressed that it's not going to be that way.
Yeah.
And then eventually it's like, I'm going to create this because I want to create it. And since we've sort of like gone that route of just doing what we want to do the best way we can, we've developed this like community of people that just like come to our shows regularly and
awesome.
Love what we do, buy our merch.
Well,
it's awesome.
Maybe a better way to approach the question I had then is what is it about you and the rhythm section that works so well together? Because you've been the steady members sort of since the inception of the band, right? So why do the three of you, I mean, you know, obviously other people are working with you as well, but what's the core of the band? Well, why do you three work together so well?
I think we always just were on the same page. Like we knew we had to show up every week and put our time and effort into it and not expect, much in return. And yeah. I think, everyone has different personalities, and like some bands work differently. And I couldn't even explain to you what exactly we're looking for, but it's just people work or they don't. And yeah, it's a great question, and I've asked myself it a lot. Like what's working, what isn't working, and it's just trial and error. And then the scene changes.
Of course, COVID.
The algorithm changes.
Over 13 years or whatever it's been of being a band, yeah, there's so many things have changed. I mean, the pandemic's a huge one, just right in the middle of all that, sort of sucking a bunch of years out of out of everyone's lives, right?
Yeah, exactly. And we thrived during COVID, honestly. It was kind of just like when we were just like we released our album in 2020, so we were already on that trajectory to like to just keep going bigger and bigger and growing and doing better. But then COVID happened, and there was kind of this vacuum because no one was performing, obviously, and a lot of people just didn't want to do shows when people were sitting at tables, you know.
It's a weird dynamic, right?
Our EP release in 2020 was awesome, but like people were like sitting there trying to like stand up and dance, and they're like, oh, like this is hard to get the same energy
for sure. So that album though, I mean the one you released, that your first record, like you said, you were kind of, there was a lot happening with that. It was a lot of sort of forward momentum with that. You worked with a high profile producer, came out on vinyl. There was a lot going on there. And so what is it like to sort of try to build off that, knowing that there was this chunk of time sort of between the two records that was just gone? How do you rebuild that momentum, I guess, or is that even something you're trying to do?
Well, you know what, I'll jump back just a bit too, because when we released the 10 Set Lemonade EP as the Autopilots, we printed 1,000 CDs, because it was just better value for your dollar. And then we had to legally change our name, which we talked to you about on the podcast in the past.
I think on the first one, yeah.
So then those CDs were kind of useless. We still have, we still give them away. People still like the music, but ultimately it's not something we could push a whole lot. So then we had to kind of restart it there. And then we get this big high profile producer, Garth Richardson, and that was just an amazing experience. Again, just this like feeling of like, oh, we made it, you know? And it's like, no one really cares, like people care. It was cool. It's great for the resume. And the experience was life changing and like wouldn't change it for the world, but it didn't really skyrocket our career by any means.
Sure.
And then COVID happened. So we had to kind of restart again almost. But like I said, we kind of thrived during it. We did festivals, we did shows, all with the safety regulations in place and whatnot. And there just wasn't a lot of active bands. And then after COVID, again, there wasn't a lot of active bands. So we kind of really used the opportunities we had to move forward. And now we finally have a show that, is not during COVID. We have the same members.
Yeah, that's nice to have, right?
Yeah. But we actually had to, originally it was planned for November. We had to jump this up to August for our grant, so.
Oh, okay. Okay, cool.
Yeah.
scrolling a page, all this never-ending code of how to behave. I've been playing for keeps while my mind oversleeps, fighting for an opportunity to be unique. I've been falling behind in the process to find, in the predetermined scripture in the book of the mind. I've been putting in time, put the bullshit aside. Everybody's got a choice, we don't get to decide. A broken father, a broken mother, all trying to get it right. Give us true purpose and life. Everybody wants to take us down, everybody wants to bring me down. Fine, I'll be alright. Everybody wants to share the pain. Tear it from the edge of your couch, get up and take it with you. I'm getting full next issue. Hey, I get it.
So for people who are familiar with the other stuff, I mean, if they've heard maybe even as far back as that 10 Cent Lemonade record, what has changed with your overall sound from maybe that, maybe not that far back, but, you know, from record to record? What can people expect on this new album if they've been maybe following your career for a little while?
I'd say it's gotten heavier, which is awesome.
Yeah, that's cool, yeah.
I think I was always just hesitant to be heavier, right? Like, you know, in Winnipeg, Manitoba, Canada, everyone's folk, country, pop.
For sure.
As the big genres, right? So we were, I wouldn't say we were safe. We were doing the best of our ability to make the music we loved. You know, and then we just kept going with the heavier riffs. And I think we went from more of a blues rock vibe to more of a hard rock.
Okay.
Vibe, but I think it's always been, we've always been radio rock.
Yeah, like, for sure.
The music on the radio I've always loved, like Finger 11, 3 Days Grace, Papa Roach, these days the Blue Stones, Black Pistol Fire, you know, those kind of bands, Royal Blood.
Well, I think so that's kind of interesting. Sorry to interrupt, but
yeah,
I like how you guys lean into the radio rock thing, because a lot of people... Yeah. That's almost like a, it's almost like a swear word, right? The idea of being a radio rock band, and you guys fully embrace it. And I mean, it, you're playing the kind of music that people want to hear on the radio for sure. So
yeah,
it is nice to see that for a change, because so many people are just like, I don't know if I want to be, but you guys are just like, no, this is what we are. This is what our audience is. And yeah, it's good to see.
Well, and like, that's just it, right? Like all the music on the radio sucked. And I don't agree with that. I think the radio just overplays the same song as Costa.
For sure it does. Yeah, definitely.
That's the problem. And even Power 97 right now, is they're diving back into River City Rock and playing local music. And they've been promoting our EP release show constantly. Like I hear someone text me like every day, or I hear it on the radio, like, you guys are on the radio again. That never happened in the past, like, I don't know, 5-6 years.
Yeah.
So
what do you think, I mean, not with any specific stations or anything, but what do you think has changed in order to make sort of local bands playing this kind of stuff more accepted? Because I think you're right. I do see more sort of higher profile pushing of bands like you in terms of just like radio stations and other things, just getting it out there more. Do you think something's changed in terms of people's tastes or maybe people's acceptance of sort of more radio friendly rock stuff?
I mean, I think you said it all right there. Like, I think people have become more accepting of all genres now.
Yeah.
Like, I find it rare to find people that are like, I only listen to rap or rock or pop, like country. Like, we played Country Fest this year.
Totally, yeah, yeah. I was going to ask you about that, actually. Yeah, that's great.
Yeah, and there was a bunch of people that loved us, and there was other rock bands there, and everyone just had a good time. Like, there wasn't any... you know, people saying, why is rock playing here, right?
Yeah.
So I think people have become more accepting of genres of music and just more supportive of local. I think also COVID stopped big bands from touring through cities.
It did, yeah. So you're stuck with your local bands. You have to support the local bands and watch them in, yeah.
They got stuck with us, yeah. No, but for real, like there wasn't big bands, so tribute shows... We're everywhere here for
That's right,
a minute.
Yeah.
And they still thrive. I used to be kind of against them, and then you go to a few and you play a few and you're like, oh man, everyone's just having a good time. So I think that's it. I think musicians are the ones that are like against radio rock or against tribute shows, but the actual general fans just love live music.
They just want to see a band play. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
With something like Country Fest, though, I mean, you know, as you said, you guys are getting heavier, if anything.
Yeah.
And so how do you go for, how do you have to tailor your set for something like that? Do you just play the same set you'd be playing anywhere else? Or is there, you know, knowing that it's a country audience that maybe is not as primed for something heavy, do you have any tweaks you do to the set list or anything to suit that crowd?
It's a great question because we talked about it and we used to tailor our set for shows, right? Like, and you still can, obviously, right? Like, depending on the crowd, you could throw in a certain cover or something. But no, we kind of just said, like, they hired Northern Royals to play. We're going to give them Northern Royals. And we actually went, like, heavier than we may have usually on purpose.
That's cool, yeah.
Just because we're, like, if we dial back at all, like, that defeats the purpose. I don't know. But we did, like Kendra sang a... Miranda Lambert's song Gunpowder and Light. So we threw in a country song. We found the most rock country song we could find at the time, you know.
But that's, I mean, even as a rock band playing Country Fest, that's such a huge event for anyone. I mean, the ridiculous crowd size and stuff. So that must have been kind of must have felt good doing that show, even though you're kind of out of the I was gonna say catchment area, that's not a word, out of the genre that people are expecting.
We did I think it was 2 years ago we did Rock in the Field to Minnedosa. That was sick.
That's more, that seems like more suited to what you do though.
Yeah. That one was amazing. Like that one was, I mean, they were all amazing. We were so well received at Rock in the Fields, but Country Fest too. And Harbor Fest was last year. That was awesome. We never thought we'd be playing these festivals, right?
Yeah.
Like it wasn't in my list of goals. My list of goals is like playing these venues in the city, playing the BERT opening for some big band.
Sure.
Which still hasn't happened for some reason.
You gotta work on that. Yeah. But I mean, that makes sense, right? Because I mean, especially playing the type of music you play, it definitely seems like it's more of a bar genre. And so it's cool that you're on festivals, festivals are pretty diverse to begin with. But yeah, definitely not as much, you're not assuming there's as much heavy stuff, unless it's a festival kind of tailored to that.
Yeah. I mean, like even you've obviously heard of the Loud Music Awards.
Yeah.
You know, Dag's been doing some awesome work there, just bringing more promo and attention to metal bands and hard rock.
Voivod's playing at the thing this year.
Yeah.
Just ridiculous, yeah.
I know, and they've been doing so much great work because there's just not been a lot of support for heavy bands. And, you know, I say that as like a band that, you know, pushes radio rock. There's a lot of metal and much heavier bands who still don't get a lot of attention.
Yeah.
You know, Park Theater, Corey Thomas and Eric Castleman, they're doing tons of metal shows and stuff, and hard rock shows. So it's cool to see the scene supporting that.
You don't know what you're doing to me.
does playing heavier stuff, do you think that that kind of opens you up for more potential of who you can play with in the city? Like, you know, again, you're obviously not the metal band, but does having that sort of more of an edge or more heaviness, does that maybe mean you can sneak out of some bills with metal bands or with sort of the heavier side of the scene?
Yeah, I think so. Like, you know, I don't know if we would have got the Loud Awards had we not had some heavier tunes, right? Like, I just am scratching the surface on how to scream, and it's the funnest thing. Like,
yeah, for
I just
sure.
started doing it as a joke and then started learning how to sing, taking vocal lessons, and then realizing the skill there. And then that's been so much fun. So I just started doing it more. And I was always afraid to do that because I thought people would run away, you know? I thought people would be like, devil music. You know?
Yeah, yeah.
But no, people love it.
That's cool. So with this new record, when is it coming out? When can people hear it? Because, I mean, the good thing about this being a podcast, right, someone could hear it the day it comes out, in which case the album release is imminent, or they could hear it a year from now, and by then it's everywhere, and they can just go on their computer and find it right away. So what are the details? How do people get hold of this record, either soon or later?
So this album comes out digitally August 23rd. And on all streaming platforms. And then it comes out physically at our EP release show at the Park Theater August 24th.
Cool.
We will have CDs available there. That was a big topic of discussion, but we kind of decided we're going to do CDs, vinyl later on, and cassettes later on as
well. Right on. That's good. As you know, I'm very fond of physical media, so it's always nice to hear people doing any of those three. I mean, a lot of people think CDs are not a thing anymore, but like, they definitely are. I mean,
they sell.
We're out there. People who listen to CDs, maybe we're getting fewer in number, but we're definitely out there.
Yeah, they definitely sell. And like, I know a ton of people who buy vinyl, cassette, CD that don't have the players for them.
You know, as a souvenir or whatever, right?
Yeah, and... you know, I think that's really cool, right? Like, because you only buy so much clothing.
That's true.
You know, like I got a closet full of shirts. I'm still going to buy shirts and hoodies, but like, so we got a lot of different merch. We got one hitters, we got vinyls of the last EP, got hats, toques, you know, we're just trying to get whatever we can that people, you know, would want to buy and support us. Because if you just keep buying shirts, like, you kind of run dry of your super fans, you know?
They already have 8 shirts or whatever. They don't need any more.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Well, and I guess if you're making tapes or CDs or vinyl even, I mean, if someone buys one just as a support the band or as a souvenir or to put on their shelf or whatever, maybe it's going to encourage them to get a tape deck or a record player or a CD player. And then they can maybe buying physical albums from a band show will become a normal thing for them because they can actually listen to it now.
Yeah.
That's the hope, I guess.
Yeah, absolutely. And like, I started buying local vinyl and then ended up getting a vinyl player because I wanted to start listening to it.
Yeah.
But I probably had about 10 vinyls before I ever bought
record
player.
So what, they just kind of sat on the shelf and you looked at them wistfully, wishing you had a record player? And
Exactly. Yeah.
Right on.
Yeah. We love, like, the, we're very, we care a lot about getting quality merch too. We actually just got these new hoodies, which will be at the EP release show, and we went to Stokes Green Printing. They just do the best work in the city, in my experience. And you know, even the vinyl we got, 180 gram, 45 rpm, polyline sleeves.
Cool.
Like, as much as we could to buy some merch, and also for the audiophiles, get some really nice stuff. Even the CDs are, I don't even know what it's called. It's like glass manufactured or something that. Like, so it's not just burnt CDs.
Yeah, so just a CDR you threw in an old computer. And yeah, for sure, for sure.
Tell me I'm alright, tell me I am fine, 'cause I can't.
if people are hearing about you for the first time on the show, or if they've already heard about you and want to find out more, what's the best way to A, hear the music, you know, all of it, I mean, if it's all still out there in the world, and then to find out about upcoming shows and things like that, where would you send them?
So you can go to northernroyals.com, but we also have a landing page or link tree,
right?
Which is bio.to/northernroyals.
I'll link to it in the show notes, so people don't have to type that out. Yeah, yeah.
It's on all of our social platforms. It's on every bio of every social platform we have. So it's super easy to find. But that's where I put tickets, music videos, all of our social pages. It's kind of defeating the purpose of a website these days.
Yeah, I guess some of it.
Yeah, but it's pretty sweet. It's really handy.
And then obviously, you know, your focus right now is the EP release, is the EP release show. Do you have anything planned for, you know, the rest of the, not whatever's left of the summer into the fall, as far as shows or anything like that?
Yeah, we have not sure how much to announce here, but I could say we have a show November 23rd, I believe. Not 100% confirmed. And then a show December 28th. So late November, late December.
Cool.
And then we'll have a show in spring as well. So
kind of every, you do it a month or two, sort of spacing out the shows like that.
Yeah, that's even the November, December is pretty close together. But, you know, we just try to make sure the shows matter and they have purpose. And, you know, we did the play a show every 2 weeks and people stopped coming. You know what I mean? Like,
well, the guy who has the 8 shirts is already at every show and he's seen the set a couple dozen times, right? Yeah.
Yeah. So, we try to make the shows matter and we try to put on a good show. Performance wise, and we just want to make it special, you know.
Look, I control my-